Hello, welcome to View from the Stand, the podcast looks at Australian football, both the A-League men's and women's competitions, the FFA Cup, the senior Socceroos and the Matildas, and also have a look at the National Premier Leagues as well. Tonight's show, we are going to have a look at the Commonwealth Bank Matildas as they head off to play their first match in India in the Asian Cup. Later on this week, we'll have a look at the team selection and hear from a couple of the players and from the coach. And to help me to do all that this evening, I have on the line from Brisbane, a man that I've known for over 40 years. I'm lucky enough to be able to call my best friend. We've seen many, many games together over the years, Mr. Michael Howe. How are you, Mike?
Welcome, Steve. I'm very well, thank you.
Thanks for joining the show tonight.
Absolute pleasure.
And first question up, since you're the first guest I've had on the podcast, what was the first match you ever attended? Do you remember?
Oh, going back through the memory banks, I think it might have been Sutherland Shire versus Ugle at Seymour Shore.
Oh, nice one. My one was
back in probably April 79.
April 79.
Hmm.
First match I can remember going to Sutherland was Sutherland versus Auburn back in 1974.
Wow, got some news on me.
And Sutherland won that game by 3-1.
Excellent.
Yeah. What? Yeah, the first one of the other first games I went to as well was Australia versus Uruguay, and I can't remember which one came first, that one or the Sutherland versus Auburn game, but the Sutherland Uruguay, the Australia Uruguay game was a warm up for the 74 World Cup.
Okay, so, yeah, I didn't go to that one. I think my first Australia game was against Czechoslovakia.
Okay, yes, remember going to that? Standing on the
very good game.
The hill there at the old Sydney Sports Ground.
That's the one.
And got absolutely drenched.
Yes.
And Czechoslovakia
on the field and off.
Sorry?
On the field and off.
Yeah, that's right. And Czechoslovakia were the European champions at the time.
Correct.
Yes.
So it was certainly a very stern test for us.
Certainly was indeed. So we go back a long way. We go back over 40 years of friendship, and been to a lot of matches, locally, nationally, and internationally. Any game particularly stand out as a particular favourite?
Oh, internationally, I would have thought the Australia New Zealand World Cup qualifier in Auckland.
Yes, that was a good trip.
Yeah, although the game finished 0-0, it was my first overseas international, and it was quite a good weekend, quite a good time, that one.
Yeah, that's right. We spent a couple of weeks over in New Zealand, travelling around.
We did, yes.
The game, it's hard to pick point, because we've seen so many games together.
It's been a phenomenal run. It really has.
Yeah.
I suppose one of the biggest highlights for both of us was the World Youth Cup held in Sydney in all those years ago.
Yeah, that's right. We went to the final between West Germany, I think they were at the time, and Qatar, I think it was.
I think you might be right. And that was a very rain-soaked afternoon as well.
The one where we stood in the rain.
Another one, yes. Stunted our growth.
Yeah, so I was thinking of trying to think of a particular game that stands out for me for all the years I've been going. And there's a couple on the international front. Probably there's the Asian Cup final, which was at the Olympic Stadium. That was probably one of the biggest highlights. Probably Australia qualifying for the 2006 World Cup, was it? For the first time in 32 years, when they beat Uruguay at the Australia at the Olympics stadium again. There are two particular games that stand out for me internationally. Locally, probably one of the games that always I like thinking about is when Sutherland beat Sydney Croatia in the 1978 grand final at Wentworth Park.
Wow. Yes, I remember going to that, actually.
Yeah. So that was...
Yes, that was a fantastic game.
It certainly was, yeah. Sydney Croatia were red-hot favourites.
They were.
And Sutherland...
Yes,
Sutherland,
we were certainly underdogs.
Certainly were. It was good, good team Sutherland had back in those days. Some great names.
Yes, we had what? Mal Haynes in goals.
Yep.
The Shuey boys. Now. Yep. Craig Hall.
Yeah. Peter Beggs, Craig Hall.
Yep.
Mitch Hesford.
Yes. Great fullback, Mitch Hesford.
Paul Smith, of course.
I think Paul Smith, of course. John Watkins was, I think, coaching at the time.
Coaching then, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, memory serves me.
Yeah, Steve Meads. Who else was in that team? Should have looked it up. My memory's...
Yes, me too.
Memory's going
but
on.
But yes, it, the games at Seymour Shaw with that squad was just brilliant. Absolutely yeah. Brilliant.
We also had... So a great reserve grade side too.
Very much so.
Yeah, which came through to the first grade. So they were pretty strong there for a couple of years. The following year in 79, Sutherland played Inter Monaro, if you remember.
Yes.
At the old Sydney Sports Ground and we got beaten.
Yes, we did. And, yes, we'll forget about that game.
Yes. What's been your, I mean, we go right back to pre-NSL days when we've been watching football, the birth of the NSL, the death of the NSL and the start of the A-League. So we've certainly seen some changes in the game in this country.
Oh, it's phenomenal changes, yeah. There's just too many to recall and recount.
Yep. But, and all the different eras had their special occasions. I think back in the 80s was probably the high point for the National League when they used to get some really good crowds at the games and some great overseas players were coming in. Then that sort of petered off towards the end of the 90s and the crowds weren't going, so it wasn't a viable league anymore.
No, they tried a couple of methods too. They tried a full Australian competition and there was two conferences within that era as well.
Yeah, they mucked around with it for a little bit, didn't
they? They did, yeah. And we had various people in charge of the Australian Soccer Federation, which didn't help the balance of the game.
No. So what's your over-impression of the game these days, Mike?
The game is fantastic. It is much more professional. It is fast. The skill level has certainly risen quite dramatically. The introduction of overseas coaches, overseas players, full-time professionalism. A lot of the clubs have their own grounds now, which is a huge benefit. I just see the game just can only go forward. It is just a magnificent game at the moment.
Well, we're talking about grounds. A point I was going to talk to you about, Mike, you're up there in Brisbane. Brisbane, of course, played at Suncorp Stadium from when they started back in 2005. In the last season or two, they've moved out to the suburbs, to Redcliffe. What do you think of that move?
That upset a lot of people. I think for the fact that the ground is a small capacity, you have no undercover. So if you have any very hot days or rain, it's a very hard day to be there. Transport is not the best. I believe the nearest train station is about a 35-minute walk.
Wow.
There's been a lot of talk about people parking their cars in the streets, which the residents aren't happy about.
Yeah, right.
I can see the benefits as why, because they're not paying as much as what Suncorp they were paying as far as rent goes.
Yeah.
So it's certainly better value in that respect, but it certainly has put a lot of fans offside.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it?
It is a shame. It is a shame.
But I guess like when Brisbane started, they were getting crowds to Suncorp of like 20, 25,000 people and whatever. But now it's the crowds have dropped down to about 10,000. It just it's not viable for them to play there.
That's exactly right. Now, I know with the introduction of the new rugby league franchise, which play at the same ground, I'm not too sure how that will affect the Brisbane Roar in coming years.
Right.
Whether we may have to go back to Suncor, I haven't heard any rumours, but...
Nothing in the press up there?
Nothing in the press. It's been very quiet. There's been a lot of talk about redeveloping Perry Park.
Oh, yeah.
As a co-hosting ground, hosts both the Roar as well as the Brisbane Strikers.
Yeah.
It's very close to a train station. It services all rail lines. The fans, it's easy to get to. So there is talk of that redevelopment, but I think that's a long way down the track.
Right. Because you've got to think, you know, fans are going to have a 35-minute walk to get the thing or can't find a parking spot and whatever. You know, you've got to think of convenience for the fans.
Very much so. And we try and promote the game, as you know, with Sydney FC, you try and promote the game as a family game and try and draw a lot more families and children along.
True.
The last thing you want is a long walk, a trudgery walk with mum and two kids.
With your kids in tow.
Behind you, half past 10 at night.
In the hot, humid Brisbane weather.
Yeah, and it's certainly very comfortable. Yeah, it's not the best to play in.
No.
But yes, I think a lot of families have stopped going for that reason.
Yeah, that's a shame, isn't it?
It is a shame.
Ballymore? There was talk there once of maybe doing something there.
There was talk of that one. I believe recently that the ARU and the Ballymore people have signed an agreement where Ballymore will be redesigned and redeveloped for rugby union.
Right.
So that's going to become now a showpiece for Brisbane rugby. So that's unfortunately now off the cards.
Yeah. So football gets shafted again.
It does. Football gets shafted every time. And it's something, unfortunately, where I don't know what the Sydney government's, the New South Wales government's like, but Brisbane tend to be very rugby league parochial.
Yeah.
And AFL comes a very close second.
Yeah.
And football's just not really thought of. It's there, they can look after themselves.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much the same case. The problem that football's had in this country, and always had, will be, it's not the number one sport. It's always going to be in the Eastern States, rugby league, and a little bit of AFL as well. And down in the Southern States and over in Western Australia, it's always been dominated by AFL.
So correct. It's hard
for football to break into that market, I guess. And we've tried and tried for years and years.
Mm. Although football is probably, and I think factually, is the number one playing sport in the country amongst juniors. It's convincing mums and dads to take the kids to watch the Brisbane Roar or Western City Wanderers or Sydney FC. You know, clubs of those calibre, because they're always, mums and dads are very still rugby league parochial.
Right. Yeah. It seems to be.
So it's very hard to.
Yeah. Once the kids get to a certain age, then it's sort of lose a bit of interest in the game, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen a lot of A League on football, and there's a lot of young kids in the crowds. You know, we're talking, when I say young kids, we're talking probably 17, 18. Year olds. And that's the future of our sport.
Yeah,
they're the kids we need to go along regularly, and you see a lot of young people there, which is great.
Yeah, that's right. I always thought, it was always back in the case. I thought back in the day that, you know, kids get to play football up to about 18 or 19 or whatever, and then start watching rugby league or AFL or whatever. But you're right. There are a lot of young people going along to the A-League games, which is great to see.
Yeah, it's brilliant. A lot of it's brilliant.
Family. I was going to ask you something else, and now it's gone. Not to worry, it will come back at some stage of the show.
It will.
Yes. Let's have a look at some of the what's happening this week. The Australian Matildas are heading off to India, Mike, for the AFC Women's Asian Cup in India. I just mentioned it twice, didn't I? Have you seen the squad at all?
No, I haven't seen the team lineup actually.
Okay, well, we've got, I think this is the final squad that they'll be taking. We've got Mackenzie Arnold in goal, who plays at West Ham. She's played 27 times for the Matildas and comes from Burley, which is up your way, isn't it?
It is up my way, yes, on the Gold Coast.
Yeah, now she's a hammer now. Ellie Carpenter, she plays with Lyon.
Yes.
She's 54 caps for the Matildas with one goal, and she comes from Karen District Football in New South Wales.
Exceptional Steph player, Catley. Too.
Yeah, Steph Catley, she plays for Arsenal. They talk to me about Arsenal at the moment. She played 96 times for the Matildas, three goals. She comes from East Bentley, which is in Victoria.
Yes.
Who else have we got there? Kyra Cooney-Cross. She's a midfielder. She plays for Victory. She's had 14 caps for Australia. Originally played for Ballarat City in Victoria. Caitlin Ford, another gooner.
Yep.
She's played 95 times for Australia and scored 21 goals. That's pretty good going.
That's a nice return. That's one in three.
Yeah. She's originally from the Wirral Wanderers down in the Illawarra down there.
Oh, okay.
Mary Fowler, she plays for Montpellier in France. She's originally from Leichhardt. She has played 20 times for the country and scored five goals already. So that's a pretty good return as well.
She's an absolutely brilliant player. She burst onto the scene recently and has taken it by storm.
Yeah, she played really well against Brazil.
Yes.
Earlier on in the year and again against America. And she's certainly one for the future. Doing all right for herself too over in France there.
Yeah, wish her well.
Emily Glinik, I think that's how you pronounce that young lady's name. She plays for Aston Villa. She's played 50 times for the country and has scored 11 goals. She's from Redlands United.
Yes, she's a Brizzy girl.
Yeah, another girl from up your way. Did I get the surname right?
Yes, it was pretty good.
Yeah, not bad effort.
Not a bad effort.
Charlotte Grant, she plays for FC Rosengard, which I guess is in Sweden or somewhere like that.
Yeah, one of the Nordic countries, yeah.
Yeah. She's only played three matches for the country, so she's only a young girl there starting off her international career. She comes from South Australia, played originally with the Cumberland United Women's Football Club.
Nice.
So it'd be nice to watch Charlotte, how she develops throughout the year.
Very much so.
Alana Kennedy, she's a person we know very well.
Yep.
Great player, fullback. She plays for Manchester City and has played 102 times for the country.
Wow.
With eight goals. That's not bad for a fullback, eight goals.
That is very good for a fullback. Most fullbacks are happy with one or two through their career.
She is originally from the Campbelltown Cobras Football Club in New South Wales. Now, a young lady that needs no introduction whatsoever, she must be the most famous football player in Australia. Who am I talking about?
Young Sammy Kerr.
Sam Kerr, who of course plays for Chelsea. And what a name she's made for herself over there with Chelsea.
Oh, just phenomenal player.
Yeah.
Absolutely phenomenal.
She's played 104 times for the country and scored 49 goals.
Wow.
She's originally from the Western Knights in Football West.
Yeah, she's a Perth girl.
Yeah, Perth girl, yeah. So, she's done really well. They won the FA Cup, Women's FA Cup.
Yep.
A couple of months ago, which was a good game.
And also champions with Chelsea.
Champions, yeah. And I think they did well in the European Cup as well, didn't they?
They did very well, yes. Yeah, I can't remember what stage it got to, but they certainly didn't shy away from it.
No, I know she shoulder charged the fan that ran on the field. Did you see that?
Oh, don't get me started on that.
I haven't seen it. I've heard about it.
Oh, he decided to jump the fence because he wanted to take some close-up photographs. And he was quite innocent, but in saying that, he was trespassing on the field. As we all know, you can't do that.
No.
And nobody done anything about it. And Sammy brought her AFL skills into play and she shoulder charged him and dropped him.
And got a yellow card for a trouble, I believe.
She did. And the gentleman got off scot-free.
Oh.
Apparently, trespass has only been written into the laws of the men's game.
Oh, really?
Nothing into the women's game.
Oh, dear, oh dear.
So the young gentleman got away with it scot-free.
Got away with it. And Sam gets a yellow card.
A yellow card for her troubles.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, good on her. We look forward to seeing if she can rack up some more goals for the country over the next month or whatever the competition's going to go for in India. A.V. Lewick, I think her name is. She plays for Pomigliano. Must be in Italy or somewhere. She's another girl from Queensland.
Yay.
So whatever you're doing up there, you're doing well with the women's team.
We have a very good program.
Yeah.
Very good women's program up here. Very a lot of junior clubs with very strong women's bases. So it's doing very well.
Yeah, you've had a lot to do with the women's game up there, haven't you?
Yeah, I've done a lot of managing and coaching women's teams over the past.
Yeah.
With my local club. And, yeah, it's fantastic. It's brilliant.
Certainly seen the game go on in leaps and bounds up your way.
Yeah. I mean, you go back 15, 20 years, the women's game was just almost unheard of. I mean, there were young kids who might stop at 16 playing, but there was no women's teams as such.
Right.
But now most clubs have three or four women's teams.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
So it's brilliant. Yeah, fantastic.
Fantastic. Who else have we got here? We've got Holly McNamara. She hasn't played for the country yet. This is her first outing with the Matildas. So good luck to Holly. We'll hear from her in a minute. We've got a bit of an interview with her coming up. She plays with Melbourne City. And originally is from the Ermington United Sports and Recreation Club in New South Wales.
Nice. I wish you well.
Yeah, Tegan Meeker. Meeker, goalkeeper from FC Rosengard, another Swedish team. She's played eight times for the country. Originally from the Brisbane Blue, Brisbane Central Football. Any idea what the Brisbane Blue is, Mike?
No, you have me lost on that one, Steve.
Brisbane Central?
No.
No.
I must do some research and I'll let you know.
Have to let me know about that one. Courtney Nevin from Melbourne Victory. She's played seven times for the country. She's originally from the Oakville Ravens in New South Wales. Claire Polkinghorne. She must have the record for caps, I think, for Australia. She plays for, I can't even say this team, Vitsho Geek, I think it's called. She's another girl from up your way.
Yeah, she's a Brisbane Roar girl.
Wynnum Wolves and Cabela Bar were her original clubs up there when she was a kiddie.
Yep.
138 caps for the Matildas. That's fantastic, isn't it?
And she's an absolute lovely lady. I've met her a couple of times.
Have you?
And she's an absolute credit to herself and her profession.
Fantastic. And she scored 12 goals for the country, which is not bad for a fullback again.
Yep. No, she scored a lot of goals with the Brisbane Roar too. She's just one of those players who are right place, right time.
Yeah, right. Fantastic. Hayley Rasso, another girl from up your way. She plays for Man City. She's played 58 times for the country. She's from Benora Point. You know where Benora Point is?
Benora Point, that's just on the other side of the border in New South Wales.
Oh, okay.
It's around the Kingscliff area.
Right.
But we'll take her.
Remy Siemenson, she's from Sydney FC. She's a great player too. She's originally from Manly. She's only played a couple of times that was earlier on in the year against Brazil, I think. I don't think she played against the Americans. Kaya Simon, now we're talking. She comes from Tottenham Hotspur.
She's got to be a great player.
She's another great player for the country. 105 caps, 27 goals.
Yeah, she's fantastic. She's such a talent.
She certainly is. She's originally from Quakers Hill and the Hills Brumbies over here down here in New South Wales. Emily Van Egmen, she's
Newcastle Hill.
Newcastle Jets at the moment.
Yep.
She's originally from Dudley Redhead, which is part of the Northern New South Wales Football Federation.
Yep, just south of Newcastle.
Yeah, Courtney Vine. Now, this is a girl to look out for, Mike. She's fantastic. She's a Sydney FC player. I've seen her play a few times this year.
Mm-hmm.
She's a forward. She likes bombing on down the right-hand flank and puts in a nice cross. And she's been scoring a few goals and setting them up as well. So she's one to look out for, I think, in this series if she gets a run.
Brilliant.
This will be a debut tournament for Australia. She hasn't played any games yet, but as I said, we'll hear from her in a minute as well.
Fantastic.
Interview with her coming up. Claire Wheeler. She's with Fortuna in the Netherlands. She's another Northern New South Wales girl from Adamstown Rosebud.
She's got to be brilliant.
An area close, team close to your heart.
Very close to my heart.
And don't forget the Northern New South Wales Football Federation will be kicking off probably around about March. I think it's when most of the NPL seasons kick off.
Correct, yes.
Keeping our eye on those competitions. Lydia Williams, she's a goalkeeper. And she's with Arsenal. We won't hold that against her.
No.
She's played 95 times for the country. And she's originally from Tuggeranong, Woden Valley, from the capital football down there in Canberra. And Tamika Yallop, another Queensland girl.
Yeah, another Brisbane girl.
Mudjariba, is it?
Mudjariba.
Oh, is that trouble?
Down on the Gold Coast.
Yeah. Anyway, she's played 101 times for the country and has scored 11 goals. That's the makeup of the team. I think it's some great players there, Mike.
Some very good players there. It's a good balance, too.
Good balance. You've got a few new young girls in there, along with your experience of your Kaya Simons and your Sam Kerrs and the like. So be interesting to see how Australia go. The first match is on Friday against Indonesia. It will be 9 p.m. New South Wales time, so it's probably, 8 p.m. your time?
8 p.m. Brisbane time.
And you catch that on Network 10 and 10 Play, so that's good.
Brilliant.
Channel 10 showing the games live, so that's excellent to see. The next match will be on Monday the 24th, 9 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time again. Again, that will be broadcast live and exclusive on Network 10 and 10 Play. So everyone will be able to watch the Matildas for free, which is great. Thank you to Channel 10. And their final group game will be against Thailand, which will be our time next Friday, the 28th. And that's going to be at 1 o'clock in the morning. So I might have to watch a replay of that one, I think, Mike.
Well, I think we will.
Yeah. That's going to be at 1 o'clock in the morning. It should be about midnight. Midnight for you.
Yeah.
Up there in Queensland. And rest of Australia will have to work out their own times. Because it's too hard. Anyway, well, what do you reckon? We'll have a listen to what Tony Gustafsson's got to say, the coach?
Let's do that.
All right, we'll do that now.
Journey with the injury she's had as well and coming back to where she is now.
Going on. I'll start from the beginning. That might be a good idea. There we go.
I can, but I want to start to tell a little bit of background what we did. We looked at performance in a major tournament like this. It's all about experience, but also in form. You know, who's performing, who's in form. We wanted to give a fair chance to the four players that came in and compete for these two spots. So we're looking at every single training session and scrimmages and all those things. And the two standout performances that is really showing that they're in form and can give us some tools that we felt we didn't really have in the roster is Holly McNamara and I want to be clear. We've been actually keeping an eye on them for a long time. And when I was about to be selected all the way back in April last year, when I was appointed as a coach in January, I couldn't bring in Australian players at the time, and then some injuries for her, and then how she had come back and performed now. So we've been keeping an eye on both of them for a long time. And then if you look at Holly's journey with the injuries she has as well, and coming back to where she is now. So it's all based on performance at Clubland first, and then be selecting to see what can they do in the Matilda environment. And as you know, we've been looking at a lot of plays throughout the last 12 months to see how quickly they can adjust to the international level and the tempo that's different sometimes and much higher. And both of them have impressed all of us from a coaching perspective, how quickly they have adjusted to the tempo. And also they have some different attacking tools that we might not have in the roster, and I want to have those tools to break down those park busts and those compact defense that we think we're going to face in the Asian Cup.
Thank you, Ricky and Mel.
Two different weapons, actually. So if you go to Courtney, she's proven in the A-League as well, if you look at stats and look at her performances, her ability to take on players one-on-one and break that last line, meaning the back line, and either get the ball into the goal zone or herself take herself into the goal zone have been impressive. That's definitely her weapon. But the one thing that impresses me with her, how quickly she has absorbed and adjusted to the tactics we have here, and her tactical understanding as well off the ball, has been really good. If you look at Holly and the power that she has, both the power in her runs, but also the power in how she strikes the ball in finishing. And also same thing there, breaking that last line with and without the ball with power and pace. Those are definitely two weapons that I think we can take huge advantage of in the Asian Cup.
When you talk about Courtney and two forwards,
I think a lot of people out there probably thought I was going to go one defender, one attacker out of those four. And obviously, I want to also be very clear here that Colin Binney, that wasn't selected this time around. It's not that they played themselves out of a selection. It was Holly and Courtney playing themselves into selection. We felt that with the experience and the multifunctional players that we already had selected for this tournament, we feel we have the cover in the centre back, in the outside back position. And when we think we're going to attack a lot, especially in the group stage, we also feel we have attacking player that have experience playing in the wing back or outside back position that can also cover those spots. So we felt we were well balanced. And I've said it before, a lot of attacking players might have been kept out for a bit. And, you know, I said in the 12 months that we've gone through different FIFA windows and such, that we have so many attacking players that some have been forced to be left out. This time around, we said, let's go with the best players for this tournament and that are in the best form. And Holly and Courtney have shown us that that's the case right now. They deserve to be selected.
And when you look at this one for the AFC, comparison to the squad for the Tokyo 2020 Olympics, what learnings have you taken from that to inform this decision?
I think what we learned is that we have had a very, very well-balanced roster in the Olympics that benefited us. We had different player types, both age-wise, experience-wise, but also player types, and also the need for having some players that can play multiple positions. What we can add to this roster is obviously because of numbers. When we can have more players, we can add some sharp, specific expert tools and game changers that can come in and win us games with different others defending or attacking tool. So we learned that well-balanced roster we had in Olympics was what we needed to start with, and then that we can add some specific expert sharp tools.
Can you tell us how one of these last 7 days, which have gone very quickly, have been in terms of that preparation for the
as a coach, you always want to have more prep days. You always want to have more. It's been a short prep camp, especially with the players coming in from different backgrounds. Some are playing consistent league games, some coming off a Christmas break, some is coming back from injuries. So the first thing we needed to do when we came together was to get everyone on the same page physically and mentally. And that took us about 2 to 3 days. And then we had the last 3 to 4 days of camp where we actually can train with high intensity and tempo and kind of nail down the tactics. In terms of preparation, I think the number one thing to do is to get everyone on the same page, see the same tactics, see the same thing. But I want to be clear there, that is not Tony's tactics that I want them to see, because the tactic is based on them and their tools and their qualities. But everyone needs to see exactly how we can utilize their strength in the best way possible. So that's been a very important piece. The other piece is the preparation in terms of coming together when it comes to the team and the circle, as we call it, in that family, the tight, you know, the energy and the positive vibe and that family feeling. Not yet.
Sorry about that, Michael. I pressed the wrong button. So I've gone back. Nearly ended up with deep purple then.
Nothing wrong with that.
So I think we're about where we were.
Family, the tight, you know, the energy and the positive vibe and that family feeling. Not just players, but staff as well, because there's plenty of new staff in as well from this tournament compared to the Olympics, and we need to get everyone feeling that they're part of this family going into the Asian Cup.
Sweden in June, Dubai here in January.
I think there's a lot of differences, to be honest, because I think that long pre-camp we had in Sweden was a long, long time together, and we could almost operate as a club team for a very long time, so that was different in that sense. But I think also now that prepared for the Olympics, plus the camps we had at the end of the year, all that has been prep work for this as well. So we're longer into my working with the team, and we're further along in that process. So in that sense, I still feel that we're very well prepared for this one. I think when it comes to that, chemistry and the feeling that we're heading off the tournament, I have a really, really good feeling in the group. And today when we play that scrimmage out there, you can see that there's a lot of players that are starting to find their vibe and that tournament vibe, that even some staff said, hey, you can see that the players are locked on now, like they want to go and perform, they want to go and play. 4 days prior, so we have 3 training sessions in India before that game kicks off. So it'll be a travel day tomorrow and some recovery, and then we have 3 days leading into it. And most likely it's going to be a 1 attacking session, 1 defending session, and then what we call a game prep, where some more set plays and sharp the fine details and the nuances of the game and nail the game plan. And right now the only focus is the opening game. We want to start on our front foot. We want to have good performance, open the tournament best way possible, and that's where all the focus is right now.
Well, that was Tony Gustafsson, coach of the Matildas, with some interesting comments there, Mike.
Very much so. He seems to be maybe using Holly and Courtney as pivotal players as part of the attacking force. So if they can feed the likes of Sammy, we could be in for a very interesting tournament.
Yeah, I think so. As I said, Courtney Vine, she's very good at, as you said there, taking the players on, getting herself down to the byline, and either getting a good cross into to the forwards, or you know, beating the player and getting in there herself. So
And I think that's what we need too: players who have the ability to take on players and have the confidence to do so.
That's right.
So whether they go to their byline or they cut in and use their left or right foot. So I think by the sound of things, we could have a very good tournament.
Yeah, I think so. Well, you think the opening games there, you got, as Tony just said there, you know, you want to start on the front foot and start off with a win. I mean, I don't know what these teams are like. Indonesia, I imagine, would probably be a bit tricky. They love their football over there. Philippines and Thailand, you think they'd be winnable games, or 3 games there for the Matildas?
I'd have to agree, especially the comments you made about Indonesia. Very, very big footballing nation. I've always been difficult against us in the past, both men's and women's.
Yeah, it's going to be a tricky opener,
I think you're right. I think if we come away with the points, we'll do very well, but I still believe a win's on the cards.
Yeah. Then, of course, the Philippines and Thailand, pretty much unknown quantities as far as I know with women's football. But you imagine, you know, they're not going to sit back and take things easy, I wouldn't think. They're there to make a name for themselves and to progress as far as they can, and they're not going to make it easy for the Matildas.
And very much so. And something having the scalp of the Matildas on your shelf is a very important one. And as you said, they won't be sort of sitting back and be tourists. They'll be taking us on.
Oh, very much so. Anyway, let's have a listen now. We'll have another break. We'll have a listen to what Courtney Vine has to say about her selection for the Matildas team. We'll play that now. Hopefully I won't stuff this one up.
You've done well.
These little technical glitches pop in every now and again. Anyway, here we go. Here's Courtney Vine.
Obviously, like it's amazing, like something I didn't really expect to happen, but I couldn't have asked for the outcome from this pre-camp in Dubai. So absolutely stoked, still very overwhelmed, and yeah, just very surreal, very surreal. I was very, very stressed to go into the room with Tony. Obviously, it's always a stressful situation, having a one-on-one meeting with the national team coach. I breezed through it, and yeah, it was, again, I just haven't really dealt with it yet. It was amazing. I'm choking because I don't know what to say. It's a bit overwhelming. So, yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, again, that was another one that I only just that I'm going to that. Like, it kind of only just registered with me when I got on my flight to Dubai, because we had to pass, our PCR test that we do. So that kind of hit me on the flight. So I prepared myself there a little bit, but I didn't know really what to expect. Obviously, I spoke with an intense environment with the national team, but yeah. Starts the season, I'm feeling pretty high on life right now, so going in was a good time to go in, I think, and I think I've definitely brought that with me on the way. I kind of come in just feeling grateful that I'm here, just taking kind of every day step by step and not looking too far in the future, just going with what I can do today to give them my best foot forward, I guess. I think the best way you can approach these situations when you do just get called in and you're off, you're on to Dubai. So I think, yeah, going step by step and just building each day with confidence. Having Rem on the flight, she sat next to me on the flight, so made me feel very comfortable, and they've been with me the whole time this camp, and it's made me feel a lot more comfortable and just made me feel it's like Sydney FC, training in a Sydney FC squad. So having them around, having a support network that's here has helped a lot. Australia, so I started my journey in Brisbane with Brisbane Roar, having my first two seasons I think I played there, and yeah, I've had a lot of injuries on the way, so it hasn't really been a smooth sail, I started my career there with a lot of the girls that are in the team still currently, the national team, and so it's also seeing their familiar faces has helped a lot, and yeah, so going from there, I wanted to move out of home, kind of experience life a bit more, so I went to Newcastle, and love Newcastle Jets, love the place, it's amazing, and definitely got to know kind of myself as a player, I think, that year and what I wanted out of my career, which is why I went to Western Sydney the following 2 years after that. Wanted to go to a more professional squad, get a bit of game time, but unfortunately that didn't happen for me there. You know, had a lot of marquee players there, and yeah, something happens in soccer. Like, it, you got to go, you got to take a chance, and that's what I did. So still back at, happy with it. And then yeah, I went to Sydney FC, and I love it. I love Sydney FC. Like, our team is just like the best to play with, and yeah, I think being around that squad has helped me come out of my shell and kind of give me confidence, and like, I think that's definitely helped with why I'm here now. And yeah, now I'm here, which is, yeah, it just happened, just crazy. I'm gonna say my first season with Sydney FC, to be honest. I think obviously I had a lot of seasons under my belt, but nothing compared to like starting. I was always coming off the bench. So having that starting with Sydney FC and having a coach that really backs me and having a team that just encourages me to improve individually, is, I think that was my turning point where I think I can make it. So. So I haven't really processed it too much, but yeah, I've only just, you know, spoke to my partner about it, which was, I haven't even spoken to my family yet, so it's all just still a lot. But obviously, I think leading into the tournament, I'd love to, you know, get to know a lot of the girls a lot more. Like, I haven't had that chance yet. On the field, in terms of on the field, I'd love to obviously make my debut. That would be amazing. And at the Asian Cup as well is just, I guess, surreal. I don't really know what to say. But yeah, and then off the, I guess, like in trainings, I just want to prove that I can come on and make a difference, or potentially start. Like, you got to aim high in these situations, I think, and just going to help the team by pushing in those sessions as well.
Now, hopefully,
it's very surreal that I would be doing that potentially soon. So it would mean the world. Like, it's been a dream, I think, you know, since you start. And I think everyone wants to wear that green and gold, and the fact that I could be doing that soon is just crazy.
That was Courtney Vine. Nice little interview there, Mike.
Very nice. She's certainly a bubbly young lady.
Yeah, she's been around a bit. I didn't realise she'd played to so many clubs.
No, and she's obviously gained that experience through the likes of Brisbane Roar and Newcastle Jets. And,
yep.
And unfortunately,
didn't work out at Western Sydney.
And now she's gone to Sydney FC, where she's obviously found her feet. And yeah, and found that confidence and the ability to blend in with other quality players that Sydney FC have.
That's right.
And that's really shone for her, and hence her selection.
Yeah. She's it was nice to hear her so excited to be picked for the team, and looking forward to representing the country as well, which is great.
It is. We need all our players should have that same sort of passion and enthusiasm. It'd be just wonderful.
That's right. And I don't think we talked about when we were going through the squad, but she's originally from Peninsula Power, a team that you know very well up there.
Yeah, I won't hold that against her.
So that was Courtney Vine. So we look forward to see. I can't wait to see her play. Hopefully she'll get on the pitch at some stage of the tournament and show her wares and, you know, her talents and what she's got to offer for the country.
Mm.
Like Courtney Vine.
Yeah, I think Tony will start off with a very balanced, experienced squad, then probably bring the likes of Courtney and Holly in later.
Yeah, they'll probably be on the bench, I'd imagine, and maybe come on a little bit later on in the games.
So yeah.
We'll have to see what happens on Friday, I guess.
That's it. We'll wait with bated breath.
Yeah, I've got one more to play. We're going to hear from Holly McNamara now. So shall we hear from her?
Yes, definitely. See what Holly's got to say.
See what she's got to say?
Yep.
Okay.
So good. It's been quite a stressful week trying to wait and see how this training camp in Dubai has gone. But I'm very grateful for this opportunity, and I just can't wait to get to the Asian Cup and get started. Yeah, definitely. Well, Tony and Paddy were sitting there, and we were just talking about how the training camp's gone and how I've trained personally, and I'm just very excited to be there. Tony was saying that I've slowly worked into this camp, which has been true, but yeah, I'm definitely grateful that we had that chat.
How did it feel to get the email that you would be
training? Yeah, definitely that. Getting that email is kind of a shock, to be honest. I didn't see it first. One of my friends messaged me who had seen it off someone else and said, go check your emails, which was nice. But yeah, it was definitely a big shock, and I was just kind of blown away that this opportunity has come up.
How did you look at attacking
the suite? Yeah, definitely. Well, finding out that there was two spots coming from four players, it was definitely a week that we needed to take head on and really put ourselves forward. So just came in here with no fear, just had to play with confidence, and that's what I tried to do, and now I'm just very grateful. They've been crazy. So obviously debuting for Melbourne City, moving to Melbourne has been crazy, and I never thought this opportunity would come up so soon, but it has now, and yeah, it's just been a crazy couple of months settling into everything and trying to get my head around everything. To start the season out, it was just to get some game time. It's been quite a long time coming just to play games in general, especially with COVID hitting everyone really hard. But it was just to get some game time, first of all. I never thought these opportunities would come up like this, but definitely these were some of my long-term goals, which are still in place.
The last couple of years have been difficult for you injury-wise. Can you tell us how you've kept your spirits up and kept your eye on that goal?
Yeah, definitely. They've been quite injury-ridden. But definitely, for me, it's just having those long-term goals, understanding that I want this to be my career, and getting the little wins along the way is perfect, and also having the right support around me. My coaches, my family, my friends have all been so supportive, and they've helped me through the past couple of years and helped me get where I am today. So I'm very, very happy for them to be around me. It's been amazing. This past week has been such an experience being around Sam Kerr, especially, and then everyone else who is an attacker. So it's just been amazing seeing how they work, how they train, all the hard work they put in. It's been such a good experience. I'm very, very happy to be here. Oh, it means the world. This has been my goal since I've been a little kid. So this means the world, especially going to an Asian Cup, which is one of the biggest tournaments, especially for an Australian. And then with the World Cup coming up, it's been, yeah, very amazing.
No, it's only bringing out. Have you spoken to the family yet? Or if you have, what's been their reaction?
Yeah, they're just so happy for me. They're so supportive of me no matter what I'm doing. No matter if I was getting injured at the time or even being here at the moment, they're just so supportive and they back me 100%. So they were very happy for me. I think for me personally, it's pushing the team, if that means in training, pushing some of the older girls, and then hopefully getting some game time, seeing how that goes during the Asian Cup. And I think we have a real chance of winning it this year. So I think as a squad, we can really push for that trophy, which will be nice. Oh, it would mean everything. It means the world. This has been like my biggest goal of my whole career so far. So debuting would just mean the world. Can't even put it into words how much it means to me.
That was Holly McNamara with her thoughts on being selected to play for the Matildas. So great to hear from a couple of young ladies there making their debuts for the Matildas, both Holly McNamara and Courtney Vine.
Yeah, wish them very well together. And then they're going to, I'll have a huge impact on what's ahead, lies ahead for them.
Yeah, I think so. So we've done a pretty good preview, I think, of the Asian Cup coming up this weekend. And we've heard from Holly and Courtney, and of course Tony Gustafson, the coach as well. Now, I think we might have a look at the A-League Women's competition quickly before we go, Mike, because I don't know about you, but I've got no idea what's happening with the A-League at the moment. There's games being cancelled, postponed all over the place, and round switch from match week 26 down to match week 5, and it's hard to keep up with. But last weekend, Adelaide United and Melbourne City played. I think it was pretty much a full round of women's games last weekend. That was down at, Cooper Stadium. Melbourne City defeated Adelaide United by 1-0. Polisina scored there in the 66th minute for Melbourne City. What else have we got? I think I've lost the... it's gone into the men's competition now. This is a silly thing that the A-League have now got. I know Sydney FC beat Canberra United by 6-0. That was a big result there for the Sydney girls.
Certainly was.
And I'm just trying to find the details again, but it seems to have dropped off the computer screen here.
Yeah, I know Brisbane Roar had a very good win against Wellington. They won 3-2 there.
They won 3-2. Was that up your way, or was that down in Wollongong?
That was down in Wollongong.
Oh, down in Wollongong, okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I know the Jets played out of draw with First Glory at home.
Right. Brisbane had a good win the week before, I think, too, against Melbourne Victory.
They've had a couple of good runs at the moment.
They were two goals down and came back to win 4-2 with 3 goals in the last few minutes of the game. So
it was a brilliant effort. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah,
girls done very well.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the table now. The A-League have got this new system, this new website thing, and it's really hard to follow it. It is for me anyway.
Yeah. I know Sydney FC is sitting atop the A-League women's table.
Yeah, just trying to find that now. Here we go. Men, women. Should be more organised, shouldn't I? Sydney FC, top of the table there. You're right there, Mike. They're on 19 points. They've had four wins and a draw in the last 5 weeks. Melbourne City are second on 15 points. They've had 4 wins and a draw and a loss in the last couple of weeks. Of course, that was against, I don't know who that was against now. No, Adelaide, they beat Adelaide, didn't they? Melbourne Victory are third on 12 points. They've had 3 wins and 2 draws in the last 5 games. Adelaide United, they're fourth. They've had 3 wins and 2 losses. Newcastle Jets are in fifth spot. They're not doing too badly, Mike.
No, they're doing very well, the girls up there.
They've had a mixed bag, 2 wins, 2 draws and a loss. Perth Glory are in sixth position on 8 points. They've had 1 win, 2 draws and 2 losses recently. Brisbane Roar are down in seventh. They're on 7 points. They've had 2 wins, 2 losses and a draw in the last 5 games. The Wanderers, they're in 8th place. They've had 1 win, 2 draws and 2 losses. Canberra United down in 9th position on 2 points. They've had 2 draws and 3 losses. And poor old Wellington Phoenix down bottom of the table at the moment. They've got 1 point in the last 5 games. They've lost all of them. That included a 5-0 defeat to Sydney FC a few weeks ago. But Wellington are a very young squad. I think the majority of the girls are sort of like 18 to 20. And they've had to relocate from their homes over there in Wellington to be in Wollongong. So it's been a tough fast for the young girls.
Especially that age. You know, they certainly need that support group around them, whether it be parents or partners, to help them through. And to be on their own, it's a tough gig.
It certainly is. So well done to them for even managing to do what they've done.
very much so.
Looking at the men's league competition, if I can work anything out from this, because it's all over the shop. Let's have a look. There's loads of postponed games at the moment. Sydney are due to play on the 25th of January of Melbourne Victory, but whether that goes ahead, I don't know. Let's have a look, see what happens in this one. Match week 7. All those games pretty much were postponed. Adelaide beat Wellington. When was that? That was on the 1st of January at the start of the month. There was a game played there. Sydney were due to play Perth on the 22nd. I think that is what's happening now. They were supposed to play Melbourne City away next Saturday, but they're now playing Perth Glory at home.
Yeah. So 6:45 kickoff.
Yeah, it's really hard to keep up with the competition at the moment. But looking at the ladder, Melbourne Victory top of the table on 14 points. They've had 2 wins, 2 draws and a loss. MacArthur FC are second on 13 points. They've had 4 wins and a draw in the last 5 games. Western United are third. They've had 4 wins and a draw. Melbourne City are fourth on 10 points. They've had 1 win, 3 draws and a loss. Central Coast Mariners are fifth. They've had 3 wins and 2 draws. They've got 9 points. Sydney FC are sixth on 9 points with 2 wins, 2 draws and a loss. Adelaide City are in seventh on 8 points. They've had a win, 2 draws and 2 losses. Mixed bag there for Adelaide. Western Sydney Wanderers are currently eighth on 6 points. They've had 1 win, 2 draws and 2 losses. Newcastle Jets are ninth on 5 points. They've had 1 win, 2 draws and 2 losses. Perth Glory 10th on 4 points. They've had 1 win, 2 draws and 1 loss. Wellington Phoenix are 11th. They've had 1 win and 4 losses. They're on 4 points. And Brisbane Roar, bottom of the table at the moment, Mike, with 2 draws and 3 losses in the last 5 matches. Of course, that included the 1-1 result against Sydney FC on Saturday night, where they played very well.
They did play well. I thought it was a different squad altogether, considering the game against Sydney FC in the FFA Cup. Yeah, I thought Brisbane improved quite dramatically.
Yeah, they played very well indeed.
Mm.
Sydney took the lead in about the 34th minute, I think it was. Elvis Cam Sober got the ball on the Sydney halfway line over on the left-hand side, ran right through the Brisbane side, played a lovely, you probably saw that on the highlights, played a lovely through ball to Anthony Caceres, who just ran onto it and put the ball away. It was a fabulous, fabulous goal.
Yeah, it was a very good goal. I saw the highlights of that one. It was exceptionally played.
Yeah. And then, of course, Milicinovic, I think his name is, for Brisbane, he stuck one away in about the 40th minute to send the teams into the sheds at half-time, 1-1, and that's the way it stayed. Sydney had a few, 3 or 4 really good opportunities in the last 15 minutes or so, but the finishing wasn't there. They created the opportunities, created the chances, just couldn't put them away.
Mm. That's been Brisbane's downfall all year.
Yeah. So I'm not sure what's happening this weekend in the A-League, so we won't really preview anything there. But what we will have a look at is, if I've still got it here, the FA Cup. FFA Cup is semi-finals on tomorrow at Metstrata Jubilee Stadium, where Sydney FC will play the Central Coast Mariners. And that should be a very good game.
That'll be an exceptional game. Considering where Central Coast were in the league earlier in the season, they haven't had the best of runs lately, but it'll be a good clash. It'll be a good clash. It's basically like a 5th versus 6th.
Yeah, that's right.
They're down on the table.
I think they did 50 weeks ago out there in Gosford.
Yeah, it'll be a good game. I think Sydney will edge out by the odd goal.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I won't be able to go to the game because I'm going to be working. So I'll have to miss that one.
Should be illegal working.
Yeah, I think you might. I think Sydney might just edge it. It's going to be a very close game. Might go to extra time, I think.
I think you might be right. I don't think we'll go to penalties. But no. I think Sydney will definitely edge out in the odd goal.
Yeah. Now, I've got some news on the New South Wales Premier League here. The draw has been made, and the competition is set to start on the 4th of March, on a Friday night, with Mount Druitt Town Rangers. They're going to be playing RPL Leichhardt at Poppendetta Park there at Edmonton. So if you're a Mount Druitt Town fan or an RPL fan, get out there. 7 o'clock kickoff for first grade. So it's good good to see the National Premier League's all draws coming out now, Mike, and the team's all gearing up, ready.
I think it's brilliant. I mean, in years past, you'd be waiting months for the draw to come out. But you're right, it's fantastic.
What else have we got? So round one sees Marconi Stallions. They'll be at home to Sutherland Sharks at Marconi Stadium. That's on the Saturday, the 5th of March. Sydney Olympic, they're at home at Belmore Sports Ground. They'll be playing Manly United. As I already mentioned, Mount Druitt Town and Apia playing on the Friday night. What else have we got? Well, at 6 o'clock, Marconi and Sutherland, the kickoff there for first grade. And Sydney Olympic and Manly is also a 6:45 kickoff. On Sunday, in round one, on the 6th of March, Sydney United will be playing Wollongong Wolves at the Sydney United Sports Centre. That should be a good game. That's first grade will be kicking off at 2:30. What else have we got? We've got Blacktown City playing Rockdale Illenden at the Blacktown City Sports Centre. That's a 3 p.m. kickoff, first grade. Sydney FC will be playing Northbridge Bulls at the Rockdale Illenden Sports Centre. First grade will kick off at 6:30. And that is the first round for matches in the New South Wales Premier League. I believe the Queensland one's come out as well, Mike.
Yes, the draw has been made. Our season kicks off on the 25th of February with Peninsula Power playing Brisbane City, 7:30 kickoff.
That should be a good game.
Should be a very good game. Brisbane City have been promoted from the...
Cup again?
Yeah, back up again. Matty Smith is in charge of the squad. He's done very, very well, so they've been promoted.
Yeah.
Peninsula Power, unfortunately, didn't make the final, well, got knocked out in the final four series last season, but a very, very good strong squad. That'll be an exceptional game.
3 years have been very strong, haven't they?
They have been, yes, very much so.
So that, and of course, the team you go and support up there, Olympic FC, I think they're called.
Brisbane Olympic, yes. We take on Eastern Suburbs on the 27th of February at Yeronga at a 6 o'clock kickoff.
Right. So, all you Olympic fans up there listening in tonight, or whenever you're listening, because you can listen whenever you want on these podcasts, get out there and watch your team. Anyway, we'll cover the National Premier Leagues in a little more detail when they come closer to the time. Anything else you got there, Mike, that we want to discuss?
No, I think that's about it. I'm quite excited for the NPL to start again, of course, in both New South Wales and Queensland. They're both fantastic leagues.
Yep. I think the NPL is right around the country pretty strong. The Victorian one's very strong too. They've got some great clubs in that competition as well.
It's
Heidelbergs. Then there's some new clubs that have come up through the last few years, Bentley Greens and teams like that. So, yes, good competitions to be had during the winter in the around Australia.
Very much so, and I'd like to see everybody out there supporting their local team give them a shout out.
We can do a little bit to help that in our little show here. We'll quickly go through the English Premier League results from the weekend, Mike. On Saturday, Brighton and Crystal Palace drew 1-1. Man City beat Chelsea 1-0. Did you watch that one?
I did watch that one. That game certainly surprised me from the Chelsea's point of view. They just could not get started.
Yeah.
After 45 minutes, Chelsea didn't register a shot on goal.
Shot, that's right. Yeah, I watched the...
Which was very unusual for Chelsea because they're quite a strong squad, but
yeah.
Man City are a phenomenal team to watch.
Certainly are, certainly are. Sunday, Newcastle and Watford drew 1-1. Newcastle in all sorts of trouble at the moment. On the bottom of the table. Norwich City, they defeated Everton 2-1. Wanevu Oli went all the way from his home on the Wirral cross England to Norwich to see them win 2-1. 6-hour coach trip there and back. Anyway, he said he had a nice day out. But Rath has been sacked is the big news out of that game.
Yes, it was announced, I think, this morning. I saw that Rafa has parted ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rumour has it that Wayne Rooney is taking the coaching role.
Oh, there you go.
Hmm.
The news, is that an exclusive for the view from the stand?
I think it might be. There's nothing come out from Everton, but that's the topic at the moment.
Rumour. All right. We'll keep our eye on that one. Wolves beat Southampton 3-1. Good win there for Wolves.
Yeah, brilliant game, that one.
Aston Villa came back from 2-0 down to draw 2-2 with Manchester United. And this morning, Liverpool beat Brentford 3-0. Told you there's nothing to worry about there. And Leeds United beat West Ham 3-2 at the London Stadium. And, of course, Tottenham versus Arsenal wasn't played. Because they had somebody with COVID. Mind you,
yes, that's disappointing.
Yeah. Well, don't start me off.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, Leeds United have been riddled with COVID. Yeah. Been both
first team players. And lots of youngsters in there, and they managed to beat West Ham 3-2. They still went on with it.
There you go. And I mean, squads such as Arsenal's. Spurs, Liverpool's, they've got a lot of depth. They've got a lot of academy players they can pull up. There was really no excuse for Arsenal to cancel that game.
No, I wouldn't have thought so. No. Anyway, let's have a look at the table. Man City are top of the table, Mike, on 56 points.
Yep.
Liverpool now move into second.
Yep.
On 55. Chelsea are third on 43. West Ham United are still doing very well. They're on 37. Arsenal on 35 points. They're fifth. Tottenham are sixth on 33. Manchester United are seventh on 32. Wolverhampton Wanderers are eighth on 31. Brighton Hove Albion are ninth. They've got 28 points. And Leicester City are tenth on 25 points. Looking at the bottom, we've got Burnley, bottom of the table, on 11 points. Sorry, Newcastle. I thought Newcastle were bottom. But they are close. They're second bottom. They are on 19th on 12 points. And Norwich are in the 18th position in the relegation zone. They're on 13 points. Then above them, we have Watford on 14, Everton on 19, Leeds, they're 15th on 22, Brentford are 14th. On 23, Villa are 13th on 23, Southampton are 12th on 24, and Crystal Palace are just outside that top 10 on 24 points. So it pretty much wraps everything up, I think, Mike.
It certainly does, sir. Most certainly does.
I don't think we've got much more to talk about. We've been going for about an hour and a quarter. So unless you've got anything more to say, we might sign off.
I think we'll sign off, and hopefully we can join again another day.
Yes, for sure. Thank you for joining me, Mike.
An absolute pleasure. Thank you for asking.
No worries. All the best, and good luck to Brisbane Olympic when they start up. And we'll do this again.
We will.
Good luck to the Matildas.
Very much so. Tune in. It'll be a great game.
Yep. Bye for now.